If you have your Bibles, will you please turn to the fourth chapter of the book of James? James chapter 4, as we resume our studies from this great practical Proverbs of the New Testament, as someone has well called the book of James. Our text is from verse 7, just verse 7 this morning, and it reads this way. The context, I should say, is 7 to 10, but we will draw out verse 7 for our meditation this morning. Submit, therefore, and look at that word, therefore. Someone has well stated, almost humorously, but I think accurately, that whenever you read your Bibles and you see the word, therefore, you ask yourself what it is there for, because it has something to say that is of vital importance if we would pay attention to it. So James tells us, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Let us pray. Our God, we are about to speak of things that are beyond our capacity to fully understand. So we pray that he alone who can reveal the things of Christ to us will this morning do so, namely the ministry of your Spirit, that what I say will be what God would have me to say, and what people hear will be what God would have them to hear. Speak, Lord, in the stillness while we wait on thee. Hush our hearts to listen in expectancy. Speak, O blessed Master, in this hallowed hour, and may we see your face, Lord, and feel your touch of power through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Yesterday afternoon, I was doing one of those things that I just despise doing on a Saturday afternoon, or any time for that matter, and I was shopping. And as I looked at the checkout counters, I saw people after people, and almost everyone yesterday afternoon was buying groceries worth over $160, I think. Because the baskets, I mean, they were just loaded, and we were buying just a measly $60 worth of goods. And we stood in line. And all of a sudden I thought, well, I may as well make some use of my time and do some free reading. I didn't take it out of the rack. I just looked at the things that were there and something caught my eyes. The devil's footprint have been discovered on Mars. Now, what I'd like to do is to call whoever wrote the story and ask who was there and how can they identify it. But isn't it interesting that our sophisticated world is still concerned about the presence of an evil one, namely the devil? This is not new to Scripture. And James, writing a very practical book, dealing with practical living, social issues, spiritual issues, individual issues. James, in the midst of this, telling us about the wisdom we can have from God, this man, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, tells us that as we deal with all the issues on earth, we must come face to face with the presence of a personal individual called Satan, the devil. Listen to how he tells it to us. And I think it is so important that we understand this. James does not begin his ministry by telling us to deal with the devil. He begins his ministry by telling us we must deal with God before we deal with the devil. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, not the other way around. Nowhere in the Scriptures are we told that we are supposed to approach the devil. I am weary and I am scared of any minister who tells me that they have the power, the authority to address the devil. We are not told that in Scripture. It is not scriptural. In fact, in the book of Jude, when Michael was disputing with Satan concerning the body of Moses, we are told a very interesting word, that Michael the archangel did not even dare to bring an accusing voice to the devil. He simply said to him, "The Lord rebuke you." That's all. And James tells us then that you and I are responsible for certain things concerning the assault of the devil in the world in which you and I live. Do you remember some time ago, Flip Wilson? If you're 20 or older, you'll remember Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it. As I studied the scriptures, my friends, that is not true. The devil doesn't make us do it in the sense he was talking about. Scripturally, we give the devil the permission to make us do it. Scripturally, we give him one way or another, and we shall see this in a minute. Let's look at the text then and do our exposition from it. For those of you who are visiting with us in your bulletin, you will have an outline of the message just in case you do not follow everything that I'm saying at the moment. We begin with preparation for demonic assault. Preparation for demonic assault. How do we prepare to do this? I shall never, never, never forget. Several years ago, I was in Tennessee. Years ago. I was counseling at a camp down in some place in Tennessee. I don't even remember the name of the place at this time. And in the middle of the night, one of the young chaps in my cabin screamed out. And he screamed and he said, "I'm hearing voices telling me my mother is going to die. I'm hearing voices telling me my mother is going to die." And I had never encountered anything like this before. And I took this young chap out of the cabin we were in, took him to a little shed outside, and the only thing I knew how to do was what I did at that time. And I prayed and committed that child to the Lord, committing myself as well, and there was a sense of peace that surrounded us. He went back to sleep, and so did I. The only time I have ever had such an experience. But that does not mean, my friends, that the devil does not try to assault us. Simply because we have not had that experience, we shall see that what the devil does, more than anything else, perhaps it is as J.I. Packer, the great British scholar, said, that if he were the devil, the first thing he would do was to convince people that he did not exist. If I were the devil, the first thing I would do is to convince people I do not exist. And that is how sometimes we act. If we do not experience anything, we conclude that he must not be true, or he must not exist, or whatever the case might be. James says he does. But how do we approach this subject? James tells us, first of all, if a person is to prepare himself or herself to prepare for demonic assault, there must be, first of all, personal surrender. Personal surrender. Look, if you please, in our text again. Submit, therefore, to God. The word submit is one of those very wonderful and interesting words in the original language. Because in our text, to submit is not something that someone is forced to do. The word that is used here is not someone who has to obey. In fact, the word is not even talking of obedience. The word is talking of a personal decision, a personal act of the will done voluntarily by the one who is about to submit. And it means to put oneself under. To voluntarily take my will, take my life, and place that without any coercion from without, under the authority or the control of another. It is not forced. To submit is to bring another authority, to welcome, to reach for that authority and place it over my life without any pressure to do so. That's the idea of submission. My friends, that is why it is possible for even Christians to act as though they are not, if they are not willing to bring themselves under the authority of God and those God has placed over them. We shall see it in a minute. Let's consider a couple of things. First of all, submission from a scriptural pattern. Submission from a scriptural pattern. All through the Bible, submission is seen as a part of God's grand scheme and design. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, St. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, brings to our attention this whole business of submission from a scriptural illustration so that we can understand that if submission is a problem and a tension, humanly speaking, it is not so, divinely speaking. Paul will begin by telling us this, that the head of every woman is the man. The head. We'll get to that word in a minute. And the head of every man is Christ. And the head of Christ is God. He moves from the lesser to the greater. He begins by telling us that in human relationships, we have certain order that should be followed because it is designed by God to be that way. And he begins in the marriage relationship. And my friends, the word head there is not absolute authority. The word head there is not tyranny. The word head there means, as G. Campbell Morgan so rightly says, the word is a loving servant who takes the responsibility of giving leadership. It is a leader who understands the role of a servant. And he comes, this is precisely what Christ did. Jesus Christ, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, voluntarily. In fact, my friends, when you get to that great text that every husband loves to read, Ephesians chapter 5, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Every man likes to read that, but they miss verse 21. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submission is never a one-way street. When it comes to human relationship, there is always the design of God the head, followed, my friends, by the leadership, if you please, that God has humanly given in this world. And when there is any interference with that order, we will find ourselves fighting against God and his design for human happiness. So here, James tells us that to have the head is something we see in the divine order. In this present age in which you and I are living, Jesus Christ in his incarnate state, the glorified man, shall sit in glory with his Father upon the throne until God's total program is completed, and then he shall put everything back under the control of God the Father. So even to the end of the age, as you look at time, as you look at relationships, the Bible teaches, my friends, that there is the scriptural design of God, the pattern, that submission is a part of human experience. Then Paul is going to go on later on, and he's going to tell the church that God has placed men to give leadership to the church, and those who refuse the leadership that is given by God refuses, I must be careful here, God, the design God has given. You see what he's telling? If we know the truth of submitting to God, we will know the freedom to submit to one another. If we know the truth of submitting to God, we will experience the joy of submitting one to another. We will not, and by the way, it is never called upon. No person is ever called upon to submit to someone just out of pure obedience to that person. All through the scriptures, in 1 Peter 2, 1 Peter 5, submission is always related to God. Always. So, in the church, God has set it up that way. Not my will, but yours be done. It's a scriptural pattern for submission. And through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see it. John 4, I come not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. John 6, I do not do anything of my own initiative, but of him who sent me. And on it goes. We see the pattern in the life of the Lord Jesus. Submission is a scriptural and a divine design. Secondly, I wanted to see my friends the process. How do I learn to submit not only to God, but how do I learn to submit in my human relationships? The word therefore is a key to it. You see, the word therefore in verse 7 goes back to what is happening in verse 6. God resists the proud, but gives grace. Grace. That word grace, my friends, is divine enablement. Divine influence upon the heart. The capability of doing what one would not be able to do normally. When grace is an operation in the heart, this is what the person can do. Submit, therefore. Therefore. What the apostle is saying here, that God, when he calls us to do something, initiates what he wants us to do so that we, by the act of the will be able to do it. This is what we have in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do. So the grand scheme of things, look if you please, friends, look if you please. When Eve moved herself from over the control or the authority or the leadership of Adam, when Eve moved herself from the authority God had placed over her, she became vulnerable so that she became susceptible to what Satan was able to do to her, and she was deceived. That's what Paul says in 1 Timothy. And so, my friends, God has this order. But with the order, he gives the grace that we might be able to do it. When I move from God's order, I move from God's supply. I move from God's enablement. If I resist what God gives, then I make myself available for the devil. That's what James is saying in the context of what we're reading. Submit, therefore. It is possible to submit because God gives grace in order that we might submit. He gives grace that we might do it. But let me quickly go on. We have not only this personal surrender dealing, my friends, with the pattern and the process, but we have secondly the particular surrender. The particular surrender. We are to surrender to God. Long before I begin to deal with submission to human government, I must deal with submission to God. And my friends, perhaps this is where so many Christians are fighting God this day. I know what God says, but. I know that God has told me to be faithful, but. I know that God has said I am to love, but. And here we have this. We are to submit to God. We are to do business. We should bring our own lives not so much horizontally as a priority, but vertically. I must get before God, and I must deal with the business of personal surrender of my will so that my will be lost in the will of God. So that I begin now to think God's thoughts after him. I begin to have the mind of Christ in me because I am surrendered to him. I am consecrated to him. He has consecrated me to himself, I should say. The particular surrender. Look at what the apostle says. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. This word is, in the Hebrew, Elohim. New Testament language, theos. But the word, my friends, has to do with the totality of God. Whenever it is used in this context, it is talking of God in his what we call the Trinity. God the Father has designed a plan for human government. God the Son has died that it might be possible. And God the Holy Spirit energizes the believer to do it. And we are told that this particular surrender has to do with me and God. Let me tell you, friends, and I say this with some very, very sensitive care. In my relationship with my wife, in my relationship with my children, even if I may do so reluctantly, I always deal with my relationship and responsibility to God long before I deal with my responsibility to my wife. I come to God because I know that perhaps what is happening is this whole business of I am to love as he loves, but. Oh, my life knows those buts. And my friends, when we bring a but into what God has commanded, or someone used to say in college, I think I remember someone saying, when we put a question mark where God puts a period, we are in trouble. We're in trouble. It is a particular surrender. It is the individual young person, the individual older person, the individual husband, the individual wife, who goes to that secret place, like F.B. Meyer, and struggles with God, and struggles with God, and says, oh God, make me willing to do what you are asking me to do. Make me willing to be willing. I cannot tell you how often I have prayed that prayer to God. Make me willing. I know what my mind is saying. I know what the world is saying, but I want to be willing to do what God says I'm supposed to do. A particular surrender. It is not dealing with horizontal. It is dealing with vertical. Because, my friends, you see, what our text is telling us, when we deal with the vertical submission, we can deal with the earthly resisting. This is what the rest of our text says to us. If you please. Submit, therefore, to God, the one who gives grace. Resists, or in order that you might resist the devil. Jesus believed and taught a very personal individual named Satan. He encountered him in the wilderness. St. Paul teaches the existence of a personal individual called Satan. He got in St. Paul's way again and again as he tried to do his ministry at times. We go on record as saying in this congregation we believe that the devil really exists as an individual, a spiritual being whose whole ministry is to undermine the will, the revelation of God. Let's look at how we overcome demonic assault. Overcoming demonic assault. Our text tells us that in submission to God, we become spiritual invincibles. Resists. You know what the word is saying? To stand in opposition to. To hold off. We had read this morning that when we do certain things, we shall be able to stand, having done all to stand. Spiritual invincibility. It means, my friends, that we, as was being sung this morning, greater is he that is in us. But let me tell you, if he who is in you is not controlling you, you will become controlled by something else or someone else. Let's look at the ability to be invincible. Resists. The word is made up of two interesting words. Against and to stand, or to stand against. Look, it is the devil approaching us. It is not we ourselves approaching him. And when he comes, just as he came to the Lord Jesus, the devil cometh and he has nothing in me. When he comes, having submitted to God, we are able to stand him off. We are able to stand against him. We are able to hold our ground. Unlike Flip Wilson, the devil cannot make us do it when we are submitting to God. He can't. I discovered Dr. Edmund Hibbert a little while ago, and in his commentary in James, I thought this was so wonderful. Listen to what he writes. The devil, who is a slanderer, whose chief concern is to try to sabotage commitment to God or God's revelation to his people, he writes, as God's personal enemy, the devil is constantly engaged in seeking to subvert the allegiance of God's people by leading them to world-centered thoughts or attitudes. As God's chief enemy, The devil, my friends, will not tempt, some of us probably he will, the devil will not tempt a lot of people in this congregation to commit adultery. The devil might not tempt a lot of people in this congregation to steal the offerings. But I'm going to tell you what he will do. The devil will undermine mutual submission one to another. He will undermine God's program so that we begin to question like Eve. The Bible says it, and we preach it, and someone say, who gives you the authority to say what is right and wrong? I'll tell you who. The Scriptures. The Scriptures. We do not operate in this congregation, my friends, with rules and regulations from headquarters to control the lives of people. God is the one who has stated in Scripture what we are supposed to do. And in obedience to Him, people who come to this congregation must be willing to submit to what God has placed and not try to sabotage by playing into the hands of the devil. This is what we have here. If we question the design of God, the devil has been successful in getting us to undermine or question what God has designed. He has been successful. And he has done this. We've become Christians. Christians who are beginning now to question the authority or certain parts of God's word. I like this part, I don't like this part. I think I have the right to do this, you can't tell me I can't do this. That, my friends, is questioning the design of God. I am not God, Pastor Hamilton is not God, the deacons are not God, but I'm going to tell you, we are men of God seeking to obey what God has said. That's where we are. Dr. Hibbert tells us that the devil will seek to sabotage, to subvert our allegiance. Did God really say, yes, he said. He did say it. And here I am now. I am willing to submit to what God says, or I'm ready to question what God says. So here we have, my friends, the preparation. We overcome, first of all, we overcome by really, really understanding that God's design for us is that we comply with the design He has made. And when we do, we can become spiritually invincible. But we have something else. We have what I call the assignment for invincibility. How do we do it? We do it, my friends, by what Paul tells us in Ephesians 6. Take on to you the whole armor of God. In other words, we find that in this word. We find it in the word. Ephesians 6 tells us what the armor of God is. We are supposed to take it up. I find this very interesting. You know, when I have a cough or a cold, the first thing I look for is Buckley's cough syrup. And I like the expression of everyone when I use Buckley's cough syrup. One of my friends in the congregation had a cold for a while. And I said to her, take Buckley's. And next Sunday morning, my friend came with a little bag. She said, I bought Buckley's, I took Buckley's, and the rest is yours. Dear friends, sometimes the medication might be terrible, but it is necessary. And if anyone is going to stand against the devil, there must be self-discipline. There must be self-concession to God. There must be the taking of the armor. We do not win if we do not take up. We cannot stand the devil without the armor God has provided. We can't. Think of how often many, many Christians, it is said 78% of North Americans believe they are Christians, and less than 15% of them read the Bible on a daily basis. How can we stand against the devil? No wonder, my friends, we do not even know when he comes to deceive us. No wonder we do not know when we are in his claws where he is really influencing our thoughts, influencing our behavior, influencing our conversation. We don't even know it because we're not equipped to do so. Let me quickly hasten on, if you please. There's not only spiritual invincibility, but what I call spiritual impregnability. You see, the one is our able to stand against him. The second is him able to get to us. Resist the devil. Look at his concession. Look at what James says. And. That word man means, my friends, that the promise is as sure as ever that when you do what God says, you can count upon the fact that Satan will be defeated and he will flee from you. It's not a matter of us telling him to go. This is what we have in the wilderness when the Lord Jesus was being tempted and he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. The scripture tells us the devil leaveth him for a season. He could not penetrate him. He could not penetrate him. And my friends, when we submit to God, not only are we able to stand, but the devil cannot penetrate us. He cannot get to us. Therefore, he has to roam about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And whoever is not submitting is a candidate for being devoured by him. That's what the text teaches. The conduct of the devil then, from his concession, we see his conduct. He will flee from you. I love the word. To flee means be on the run. He will be on the run. We can really put Satan to flight, not by addressing Satan, but by submitting to God. By submission to God, we assure ourselves that just as God resists the proud and has nothing to do with them, so we can resist Satan, who will have nothing to do with us. How do we deal with the devil? We deal with the devil by submitting to God. And when we submit to God, we can stand against the opposition and the assault of Satan, and we can be sure that Satan will never be able to penetrate where we are, because God has promised to keep on giving grace that we might keep on resisting.